It's called TMI.
That's right.
You know what it's called. TMZ. I don't want to get sued. I don't want to get sued if we have a TMZ podcast. 100% we would get sued. Not worth it. Cool, man. Well, I was recording the first 30 seconds of this, so that's on there now.
Cool.
And I might either have to delete it or something else, so thanks a lot for that. Okay, well, I guess that's an intro. Welcome to the show, the TMI podcast. Thank you for that. Everyone, meet my brother. This is Sky. Yeah, that is his real name.
Yeah.
It's okay. There's only like 12 people so far listening to this on average, so there's not that many people to hear how bad that intro was.
It's not, I mean,
it was bad. It was bad enough. It's definitely bad enough.
It's not a live thing, is it?
No, it's not a live thing.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Who live streamed podcast?
Dicks and balls.
Who live streams podcast? That's not a thing.
I don't know.
If it's filmed, then yes, but.
Yeah, I don't really listen to podcasts. I don't know.
Well, you need to fucking culture yourself. Listen to a podcast. Crack open a fucking book once in a while.
There's so many. I don't even know where to start.
Start with ours. How about mine? You don't even listen to mine. Jesus. Anyways.
I'm trying to catch up on Castlevania. I haven't even done that yet.
What are you talking about? The show?
Yeah. Have you watched it?
No.
It's really good.
No one watches that.
I'm like 2.5 episodes in. I keep falling asleep.
This is a music podcast.
Yeah.
I know. If you want to listen to the D&D podcast, go over to fucking Headgum, all right?
They probably do that by my work.
Jake and Amir actually has a D&D podcast. You should listen to it.
Do they actually D&D or just make fun of it?
No, they literally D&D.
Oh.
Like, they all have characters and everything.
I would not want to be anywhere near either one of them doing that.
I think only Jake does it. I don't think Amir does it. Which really? Is kind of the opposite of what you would expect.
Yeah, what the hell
is that? Yeah, I know. But anyway, so we usually like to talk about music. We usually talk about a lot of different music genres in general, but most of the time we keep it like rock and emo and that kind of vein. So, I mean, it makes sense what we're talking about today, but...
Well, yeah, because, I mean, if it was surf rock or reggae or something, I would just leave.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would technically be in the genre scape, but I'm not going to talk about that stuff.
Reggae?
Yeah, I mean, it's... Never mind, but, I mean, either way... It could be because, I mean, ska music, and that I'm never talking about that, you know? So.
Well, yeah.
So we usually only have one rule on the show, is that we don't talk about MCR. So we're not going to talk about them. But that doesn't
make sense.
What about
the Umbrella Academy?
What does that have to do with anything?
It was written by him.
Yeah, that's all the more reason we would never talk about that show.
Gerard Way?
Yeah.
Right.
Don't say his name on here. It's like Voldemort.
I said Gerard Butler the other day, and someone's like, you're wrong.
You should have said it as a joke, though. That would be really funny as a joke. But no,
that's
fine.
You mean Gerard Way? I don't know, probably.
That's fine, though, because we're not talking about emo music today. We're talking about metalcore. And, I mean, I guess some of it's a little bit emo music. I mean...
Crabcore?
Crabcore is definitely part of the metalcore scene. It's not emo.
Have you seen them?
Their music was metalcore.
They're like their own species of like the worst kind of scene in emo people.
No, that was definitely not the worst of it. I could pull up some weird...
Did you see Caleb? All you saw was his pig nose through his hair.
Dude, he's the best.
I don't know about that.
Don't be insulting people on here, right? That's not what we do here. We bring people up, okay? Anyways,
he's doing great.
As this bonus episode this week, mainly I had a lot of things to say on... like a week ago we had a podcast and the single for the new Of Mice and Men album came out and I was like... I need to pause because I think that there's way more information that I'd rather say on a separate podcast than just on this one because I could probably go on a long time. So that was why this bonus
episode
happened.
What was the last one about that would have come up?
We always do like music news and reviews and stuff. Yeah. So when that single came out, we mentioned it and I mentioned on that episode that I didn't really like it, you know? And I was just like, it's really a shame because of what everything used to be and where it came from and some of the other bands that have come from Of Mice and Men and the years of that genre and how some of that music still is good.
Yeah, but I mean, once you invite Jack Black to do half of everything in your band, how's it going to be taken seriously anymore?
Well, listen, he actually was in a really good band before Of Mice and Men, which is kind of the reason that I mean, really like Jamie's Elsewhere.
I think Jamie's Elsewhere was really awesome, except that like all of their songs sounded like not as good variations of their best song.
Yeah, but that sounds better than Of Mice and Men's later album.
Well, yeah.
So that's my point, is that it's definitely better than that.
I mean, but to be fair, it wasn't necessarily him that was wrong with it, because even the last album that Austin was in, was a lot more mainstream, and not saying it like a purist, like, it's mainstream, I'm like, yeah, it's stupid. Terrible. But it was like, they literally were quoted in interviews like, yeah, it's a lot more toned down, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot more like, the big thing was thrown out like, oh yeah, it's a lot more Linkin Park style. I'm like, who the fuck is just gonna like immediately give that to people?
I don't know why that was even a phrase to use. That's really weird.
Well, I think that it's pretty spot on in the direction that they went with that.
Yeah, but
because it was a lot more just good. Gimmicky.
Yeah, but that's like Linkin Park went more mainstream than Linkin Park in the early days. You know what I mean? Like it's just a different way of doing mainstream rock, and I don't know, the modernization of certain like bands really depresses me, man. So either way, but so to start off with, when we first started listening to Of Mice and Men, it was, I guess you would say, unfortunately, at their peak, because we didn't start listening to them until late 2011, 2012 ish area. So like you were already in college by that time.
Yeah, I think it was like a year or two before they were headlining on Warped Tour.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, once
amazing that, show, by the way. That one was great.
Well, it was, but it was also because that was like they only played like two songs from their newest album.
Yeah, that was right before Restoring Force had come out.
Yeah. Well, I think that's right, because on the Warped Tour, I don't know what the hell you even call it, the album that's like the sample for the year, song on it was Bones Exposed, because that was the only single that I think was out.
Yeah, it was.
And that song was okay, and it was, honestly, that was like my least favorite song of that entire album.
But it was good for being like the album after their biggest album ever. Yeah, it was still like,
you know, a hardcore dancing, a bunch of asshole kids like punching each other kind of music.
Which is just metalcore music. I mean, that's what it is.
Well, I don't know. It was verging more on like Attila kind of thing.
Yeah, but their attitude was never that way. That was the only thing that always drew me away from,
because Attila's like the worst thing in the world.
Well, I mean, yeah, like I know a lot of people that love Attila, but I never understood the meaning behind it, because the thing that always speaks to me is like lyrics in songs, and Attila's were like, it was like if you took
because they were like
trap music and made it metalcore.
Yeah, because they were like a bunch of
crazy, weren't they from like California? They're just like crazy bay kids.
Well, I mean, everyone's from California. That's like true. Of my son is from California. Right. Yeah, right. But no, they were like a bunch of fucking hype beast assholes.
Yeah, they were just weird. Yeah, they were just weird guys. I don't know.
They're the ones that like I could see walking out to my car and they're like, think it's funny to smash the windows in a random car
and run away.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true.
AKA, like, they would be the ones I would beat the shit out of just because they deserve it.
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about them because they're neither of our cup of tea. So, but so they started, you know, Mice and Men started back in 2009 after Austin Carlisle left Attack Attack, which for the era and the genre was definitely one of the most, like, important metalcore bands for, like, popularity's sake. 100% was the thing that like popularized metalcore music, because at the time, I mean, deep V's and tight jeans was like, and swooped hair was like, that's the shit. Like that was the shit in metalcore music back then.
Were you talking about Attack Attack?
Yeah, we're talking about like right before metalcore like exploded, because once Attack Attack like kind of released it out into the ether, like once Austin Carlisle broke off like a year later, before the first Attack Attack album even came out and made Of Mice and Men, like that was why Of Mice and Men did so well, because they just caught on to the best part of the scene blowing up, you know? So they just did a really good job in when they... I think Austin Carlisle was probably very smart in the way he did that, because he was like, oh, this band is not really what I want to do. I want to do my own thing. And then he like immediately like beelined into his own role, and then his band got bigger than I think Attack Attack ever wished they were, you know, because Mice and Men got huge. They got huge.
Well, and it's also, I feel like it's more of them being serious rather than it being almost like
fun.
Like a fun, like, you know, cult following thing, like Attack Attack was, where it was just like rambunctious, like, I mean, a lot of weird shit.
Yeah.
Like those techno breakdowns and stuff like that. Was, I don't know. They caught me off guard.
Yeah, but again, I mean, if you listen to a lot of early music in metalcore, like, it's, I think the thing that made it so weird sounding was that they were very, very stark with the differences. It was like breakdown with screaming and then instantly singing with electronic music, where, like, I mean, a lot of metalcore bands after them, that was literally their formula. Yeah,
but
you know?
I mean, not only after them, there's, I mean, you can look back to early Dance Gavin Dance, where you know, they've always had the formula, depending on which singer was there, if they were going from a metal riff into almost like an R&B breakdown or something like that, where I think it's just how you do it. With Attack Attack, it almost seemed like it was they were just really young, and it wasn't it wasn't thought out.
Have you ever watched that 8-minute video of them creating Stick Stickly, like the recording of it when like Austin Carlisle's still in the band and they're like recording the song? It's a really cool like thing, because it's like really funny to see that like blip in time when they're making like one of the most important songs in like the metalcore genre, and they're like 16 years old, like in this weird ass studio with Joey Sturgis.
That it's great that Austin Carlisle recorded everything, and then once they released the video, he had already left. So there's just some random ass kid
singing his lyrics. God, that, what a mistake that was. That was really weird. I understand why they had to do that, but honestly, I would have been more happy with no one being in the video to scream,
like a body double or something.
Yeah, like
it's not hard to look like Austin Carlisle back then. You know,
just skinny and tall.
Skinny, tall, hair that covers his face.
Yep. Yeah, it would have been pretty simple. But anyways, so after that, you know, he broke off, and Attack Attack kept going for years. I mean, they were active for like 5 years, I think, from like 08 to 2013 or something. And in that time, they completely changed everything. I mean, what you're talking about...
That was also like after he had left is the era that a lot of people loved them so much more.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what you were saying about them getting more serious, they actually did. If you listen to their self-titled album, when Caleb took center stage as the screamer, like their music is actually way better. It's like more refined sounding. Cause that Attack Attack album is very rough, but it's, I mean, if you think it's in like 2009, that's insane that they actually were able to do a home recording that good in fucking 2009, because technology was not where it is recording like it is nowadays. So, because I mean, I could make a freaking demo that sounds amazing right now in my apartment, where back then it took actual gear to make shit happen. You know, like modeling and recording equipment cost a very different amount back in, you know, the early 2000s. So I get why it sounded like that, but Attack Attack and Of Mice and Men definitely refined their sounds once they moved forward.
Yeah, well, and I think the another big thing was the fact that in Of Mice and Men, he had the people with him as well, like with Shaley, even though he was only there for the first two albums. You know,
really one and a half.
Well, I mean, it was two. They re-released four songs on the Flood without him, but aside from the fact that, you know, his vocals are great, his songwriting's amazing, and you know, you can see that with like On the Flood and their self-titled, like both had one of their slow songs that's just Shaley and playing guitar, and both of those are just straight up his songs,
and they're amazing
and
songs playing.
And the fact that he goes to Dayshell and you know, he started Dayshell at the end of Mice and Men, and then once he once he left and he released that first album, that entire album was fucking great.
Yeah, he definitely had a lot of material that he just straight up did not release with Of Mice and Men.
And I feel like that's a lot to show for Of Mice and Men, that after he left, it kind of, I feel like it stopped being as much of an emotional connection with their music, and it started being a little more just hardcore and gimmicky past that point.
Yeah, which kind of, I mean, it wasn't like, again, it wasn't bad, but it definitely went in a more mainstream and, you know, mainstream rock area. I mean, it was definitely very, very different. And I mean, some of the songs were really good on Restoring Force, but it was so different than Shaylee's version of Mice and Men that I was like almost put back a little bit. But I mean, we saw them live twice after he left and they were still insane. They were still very good. Yeah, live.
Well, and I mean, the fact that live it's so different because they play everything.
Yeah.
You know, you know that with them, if they're doing an encore, it's going to be one of their big songs from The Flood, and it's going to be, you know, Second in Sebring.
Yep. Which is one of my favorite songs of the genre ever.
Well, yeah.
It's
that
an incredible song.
Great.
I mean, if anyone listening to this that listens to metalcore hasn't heard that song, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you, but also definitely you need to listen
to that
album.
That song's great. They're honestly, the whole first and second album are amazing. One of my favorite songs of the genre also is from The Flood, Product of a Murder.
Yep.
Because that's one of the few songs that
there actually is no singing in it. Is there? I don't think there's any singing.
There is.
There is.
They have a complete timing and key change past the bridge, which is something that like I've never heard in the genre, where it's someone who had composed something that segued that beautifully, that literally it comes to not even a breakdown, but just a turning point where they change the whole timing and key of the whole song, and almost go into like a different chorus where, you know, it sounds like they have this chorus of the song that they go through twice during the song, and then at the end of it, they do like one really long chorus that's completely different, but it's just composed so great.
And you know what's funny is that now that I'm looking up some of these facts on them, I was also looking up who their producer was on some of these albums. And funny enough, Joey Sturgis did produce their first two albums, and then it moved to another guy after The Flood. So, you know, I don't know if that says anything about how their music changed, that, you know, after
they changed
Sturgis
to a
was
money
gone.
Man.
Yeah, like after
Sturgis
left. You know,
this is what's
going to
make you big.
Which I'm sure that, you know, the dude is, I'm sure, an amazing, you know, it says he's a platinum award-winning producer, and I'm like, I'm sure you are, but that's probably why they hired you, not because you're the shit in the genre. I mean, Joey Sturgis, he's produced everyone who is the genre. He was the reason that Of Mice and Men were big. He was the reason Asking Alexandria got big.
So
he recorded
Attack. Is he like a big Rise guy? Is that?
He's just the genre. Like the genre of metalcore and like math rock and stuff like that. Like that's his
what
shit.
Fuck is math rock?
Math rock is like Fall of Troy and Tron.
Where it's
shit
almost
like
more like prog.
Yeah,
metal
except
kind
still
of thing.
Very rooted in metal. Yeah. Metalcore. But but no, I mean, Joey Sturgis, like anyone who knows metal music who's in the scene knows who Joey Sturgis is, because he's the guy. Like if you want metal, you record a record with him, you know, and that could be a very big, you know, reason that it's as different as it is. But at the end of the day, I mean, everyone evolves and everything. And, you know, it's funny because if there was no evolution in any of these bands, we wouldn't get all of the other bands that happened, you know, like what we were just saying before, where the guitarist, the lead guitarist of Attack was one of the former guitarists from First to Last, which was a huge emo scene band before Attack Attack came out, and he formed Attack Attack with the other members, which all of the other almost all the other members went on to make huge bands of their own. Caleb Shuomo making Beartooth, obviously what we're talking about with Austin Carlisle making Of Mice and Men. And a lot of people don't know that that Jason Frank is a huge producer, and that he also made the band Bill Murray, which I didn't even know was him. I actually saw, I listened to Bill Murray's record, I think last year, and I was like, this is the shit. It's like grungy emo music. It's like super awesome. And then I found out that it was him, which is crazy. I was like, what the hell is this? Like, I didn't know that you made this music. That's nuts. So, definitely kind of cool to find out that like he did something that important afterwards. Because, you know, sometimes you're in one of those bands when you're 16 and the shit just falls off and you're just done.
Yeah.
You
well, don't I do mean, they're
with the rest of your
they're
life.
They're one of those that, you know, I know that we're going to talk about what Omarosa also.
Yeah. I mean, we can get a little bit into them, but, as well.
With that,
it also was, if you want to talk about Dance Gavin Dance history, but
yeah, it was also that whole thing with, you know, what you're saying with Attack Attack. It was the same thing where, you know, with Dance Gavin Dancers, the, you know, the Johnny Craig era.
Yeah.
There's the Kurt Travis era, and then there's the Tillian era that's going on right now. But it's the same thing where, you know, for different reasons,
mm-hmm.
meaning like, you know, if you're Austin Carlisle and you're moving on to bigger and better things, or yeah. if you're Johnny Craig and you get kicked out of the band a few times, then it's...
We should make a separate episode about Dance Gavin Dance, because yeah. that has a whole crazy backstory but in itself.
It's the same thing where, you know, I was joking about it the other day where, you know, Johnny Craig has now made four people's careers by, you know, him kind of either screwing up or branching off, where True. he got kicked out of Dance Gavin Dance, made Omarosa, and now Omarosa is doing awesome, and they have their new lead singer that
he's not even new. He's been there twice as long this point.
He's the lead singer that was there since Johnny Craig got kicked out.
Ridiculous.
Then, you know, on the other hand, in Dance Gavin Dance, when they kicked Johnny Craig out, they got Kurt Travis.
Yep.
Kurt Travis blew up doing that, and then he left and started A Lot Like Birds and kind of brought that band up a lot.
Yep.
Then, you know, Johnny Craig came back for a while, got kicked out again, and formed Slaves. And, you know, they were going strong, and still up until the recent departure that they kicked Johnny Craig out.
Yeah, let's just segue away from that, because I think we're going to have to make a whole show about the history of Johnny Craig.
You know, the fact that he got kicked out, and now there's this dude who was on The Voice that, you know, they called him and he's filling in for the rest of the tour, and they said that he's going to be the new singer.
I wonder what his deal would have been for the rest of his life if he didn't get that gig.
I don't know, because did you ever look him up?
Yeah, I mean, he's fine.
He is the last person I would ever think to be on a show. That dude is like this, like, nerdy looking dude covered from throat to fingertips and tattoos. Like the last person I would ever think of seeing on The Voice. But yeah, they kind of had that same thing where it was this group that branched off and did all this other stuff. And it's awesome because it's, you know, one group that branched off and did other things and actually made a lot of people's careers, because they branched off and did, you know, these four other bands that are four other bands worth of people and just who inadvertently got a break.
Yeah, so it's like you inadvertently caused a lot of other people to have a really good career in kind of a weird, twisted way.
Yeah, exactly. You know, A Lot Like Birds, that's four or five other people who were nobodies who got brought up just by the fact that Kurt Travis was in the band.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Slaves, Omarosa, and
I mean, Tillian also, just as
Tillian,
a singer.
But I mean, he also, I feel like his old band probably got a rise out of it because, you know, Tillian joins a band, everyone loves him, and they're like, where did this guy even come from? His band now,
We have to segue away from this because we're going to keep talking about Dance Gavin Dance.
All right, well,
we're going to keep
Tides of Man. They're still doing stuff now.
Yeah, they still make music, even though it's just all instrumental. But I think we're going to have to make a whole episode about that because I actually mentioned that as well after Johnny Craig did get kicked out. We talked about that on an episode too, and I was like, I might have to make an episode about this too because he has been and in has been almost ruined so much that I think it deserves its own episode as well. But so also, you know, Aaron Pauly, who is the new lead singer and bassist of Mice and Men, used to be in a band before that, which was called Jamie's Elsewhere, which was good. Definitely not known. I mean, they weren't commercially known whatsoever.
Yeah.
They were definitely on the circuit, you know.
Yeah, they were in the circuit, but even in the circuit, you know, they were one of those one-hit wonder type bands.
Yeah.
Where they had that one song that was, you know, the perfect song
blend
that
of
was
metal
put together
music, yeah,
and I feel like nothing else kind of
matched up
to that.
Yeah, and I mean that happens a lot with metalcore bands, but he did come from somewhere significant that they found him, and you know there was definitely a big shift in the band when he joined after Shaley left, just because of how he sounded and how he, I guess, you know, recorded music, his whole sound as well, because I mean, Austin's gone and they're still going forward with mainstream rock. So obviously it wasn't just Austin.
And now
you know?
He is what, doing clean vocals, dirty vocals and playing bass.
Yeah. I watched a live performance of them and I mean, he pulls it off. I don't know how he pulls it off, but
I don't know. I mean,
it's crazy.
God, I haven't seen anything lately. I really hope that beard is gone. That thing was just horrible.
It's not, actually. He looks better because he's kind of moved into his lead position a little bit more.
I mean,
so
did he cut his hair?
No, not at all. But I mean, hey, you know, you do what you do.
Straight,
I guess.
Like I know.
There's not much to say about
like watching
hair.
The.
I've never liked neck beards. I can't grow a beard myself, and I've never liked neck beards. And man, that guy's got a fucking neck beard, man. It's insane.
But the fact that from the first second that I watched them live,
yeah,
I'm just like, God damn it, if that's not Jack Black. And
yeah,
what do you do? You scroll down the comments and
everyone's
all
saying
the top comments
like
are just Jack Black, Jack
I know.
Black. I'm like, come on, man.
What are you supposed to say? I mean, he has to know. I'm sure he knows. But let's not bash him too much. I mean, he joined the band and he filled the spot that they needed and he did a good job. It's just now the kind of direction that they're still continuing in, just it's really sad to see with the genre itself, because a lot of the metalcore bands are going in the mainstream genre like area, because there's nowhere to go. Like you can't go anywhere if it's
not
the big
thing.
All
of these bands started by being outrageous,
yeah,
and then being outrageous became the normal thing. The genre grew so much, so I feel like it's starting to just like come full circle where they're like, well, you know, I don't really know what to do anymore, let's just actually start playing melodies.
Yeah, like we just need to move forward, and I guess evolving and moving forward for them means maturing their sound, which usually leads to mainstream
maturing
music.
Exactly, and refining everything, which I guess always kind of brings you back to structure and how theoretically something should be.
Yeah, but I mean, like bands like Memphis Mayfire were in the genre, and they were always clean cut with their music and with their look from day one. So it's hard to say, like it's all like splitting hairs, because I think metalcore in general has a very wide spectrum of what is metalcore, like with the type of bands that are in the scene. Because like someone like Memphis Mayfire is very different sounding than Attack Attack, but they're in the same genre somehow.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, would it? I think most of the parameters are just the fact that
it's breakdown, screaming, and melody choruses. That's what metalcore is. You know,
it's melodies, drop tunes, and screaming.
Yeah, and if you
in
do
some
all
composition,
yeah, and if you do all three of those, you're usually doing metalcore. That's just how the genre was made. Like it went from being like deathcore to hardcore, and then metalcore came out of hardcore when they added melody. That's basically
but, I mean,
what
there's,
happened.
There's also stuff where it's like, not to get into why he was kicked out or whatever, but Johnny Craig with Slaves, Slaves is considered metalcore to a lot of people, and they're,
which doesn't make sense to me, because it doesn't.
It's literally like metalcore without the vocals.
Yeah, I would say that there may be verging on metal, but I would say they're post-hardcore still. I would still say they're post-hardcore.
Yeah.
Just like the genre that they live in.
Yeah,
you know?
I think that's the big difference is metalcore needs to have, I mean, just angry vocals.
And breakdowns. I mean, that's the thing. He definitely has some songs with breakdowns, but it's just not the same. It's not the post-hardcore is another genre that kind of has a wide spectrum from like all of the swancore kids of like all of the Dance Gavin dance groups. And then also like
swancore and crabcore.
I know. They make their own stuff. But I mean, Swancore Fest is a thing now. So it's
the
like,
hell
you can't
does that
get away
even
from
mean?
They
what
made
characterizes
their own
it as a swan?
That it's pretty.
That it's pretty.
Yeah. Like Black Swan style. I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying that's what it came from. I don't agree with it. It's weird.
Yeah, bitch, from Star Wars?
Yeah, from the first episode. Why would you even know?
Wait,
no, Natalie Portman.
Oh, my God.
It's a weird reference.
So we're talking about the same person, yes.
Yeah, we are talking about the same person. But why would you mention the first episodes? They were terrible.
I don't know, because it's the first, and it's the one that came out when I was a child.
Awful.
Not like 30 years before. I don't even know how long, but that long before.
Either way, I'm just saying, you know that her acting was bad in those movies, so I don't know what you're even talking about. Yeah, they were our childhood, but it doesn't mean they were good. Moving on. So, some
or
of the
meet
other...
Anakin.
Some of the... How you wake up dead.
You wake up dead.
So some of the other bands that came out of that were also, like you said, Dayshell coming from Shaylee leaving the band. And then, you know, from it was really weird because I feel like also Attack Attack, even a lot of the people that left there and made other bands, I feel like you can almost credit them for a lot of other bands in general being made from their like their thing. From it's like you're a bunch of like little, you know, like emo kid or
a bunch of little angry kids who want to yell and make music.
Like Asking Alexandria was after of my after Attack.
Well, yeah,
Attack.
And Andy Warsnop was what like fucking 14
yeah, he was like
or something
15
like
or 16.
That.
And like if you look at that band back
touring
then, you're like
to a different country.
You're like they are the UK version of Attack Attack. Like they're more dark, but you can like credit. You can even credit Attack Attack for making like. A lot of the crazy metalcore too, like Devil Wears Prada came after them. Like all of that genre blew up after they were made.
I mean, they
came
after them, but that's like a completely just
it is completely different animal. But it's still the same thing of the breakdowns with the detunes and the melodies, which again they were one of the first people to do. I was just watching this video from Finn McKenty. He's this he's a YouTuber and personality, mm-hmm. and he works for URM Academy. It's like the recording academy. And he was talking about this same subject, and he was talking about how a lot of people credit Enter Shikari for being the first metalcore band to like blow up. But the problem is I like he's like, you should listen to them though. If you listen to them, their stuff's really rough and it's not like well put together, where a lot of like that's what the difference was with Attack Attack, even though it was very poppy vocals and melodies in the chorus and very hard like detuned chugging riffs, it was put together in that formula of like a pop song where it was like a verse, a chorus, a verse,
I guess. Enter Shikari is just they're
again, it's very different. It's just it's
like it hurts to listen to them, not because it's bad, but just because I'm like, my God, my body's feeling what's happening right now.
Yeah, and it's
very
just,
dark.
Yeah, it's like it was definitely like in the metalcore vein, but it was just right before
devil music.
Honestly, it was right before recording probably got easier to do because their early recordings that were from like 2008 and stuff, the shit is so rough sounding. Yeah. Like
well,
not rough
that's,
like
that's
the music genre
like
is rough. It sounded rough.
When was like Born of Osiris starting?
I mean, I'm sure it was probably around a similar time, but they're like prog metal. They're a little bit different in the genre.
See, they're considered deathcore.
But I don't consider them deathcore at all. They're 100% a prog metal band to me. because they're in the same vein as a lot of those prog metal bands. Like, I would put them in the same vein as, like, Tesseract and stuff. Even though Tesseract isn't even as hard, I would still put them in the same genre.
But, I mean, with Born of Osiris, if you listen to it, though, it's one of those things where it's prog because of what they're playing, but it almost doesn't even sound like it because of how they're playing it.
I know, but they sound similar to Between the Buried and Me, and they're a prog metal band. A lot of people consider them prog metal. So it's hard to put them in the same genre.
I guess. And but with them, like it says here, Born of Osiris started in like 2003, 2004 under a different name. But even as Born of Osiris, it's been since 07. So they were in that same era of like Enter Shikari and who was around back then, like Black Dahlia.
Yeah.
And all that crazy shit.
But the difference is their age also. Like, they weren't kids back then. Like, the reason that the metalcore thing took off so hard is because it was a whole bunch of teenagers doing it. So, obviously, there was a bunch of teenagers watching it. That's why, like, they got so big on Warped Tour, and that's why they got so big in general, because that was what fed the genre, was the fans. And it's really hard to be one of the metal bands before metalcore when you were like, I'm already like 22 recording new music and like all of these kids don't want to hear it because they're listening to metalcore and easycore music, you know? Like, it's hard to be those bands. So I think that's why they stayed in their lane, you know?
What is easycore?
Easycore is basically like pop punk, but they have drops. They actually have like, I mean, it's basically like A Day to Remember and stuff, where A Day to Remember is like, they are metalcore, but like they have very pop punk reference in them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of songs that very much verge on just
straight pop punk. I mean, they are pop punk. There's tons of songs that are straight pop punk from A Day to Remember, and then like 4 Years Strong and stuff like that's easycore. And post initial forming of Newfound Glory, they were considered like some of the pioneers of the easycore stuff, mostly just because they created the name. They made a tour like back in like 2008 or 9 that was literally called the Easycore Tour, and it was a joke because of hardcore music. So it was like, instead of hardcore, it was easycore. It was like just a stupid play on words, and then it like took off, not unlike, you know, like Swancore and all of the other cores. Thank God Swampcore didn't take off, though. That's an inside joke for people that worked at a guitar store with us. God, it's a really bad, really bad...
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
We heard from the
source.
Although,
I mean, by this point, it might be. I mean, really, truthfully, there's fucking Swancore, so why not?
I mean, truthfully, if the bands that were in the similar genre with, like, Maylene and the Sons of Disaster weren't called, like, Countrycore, I would have called them Swampcore. That would have been a good genre name for them if Countrycore didn't get taken.
Is that what's called, is Countrycore?
A lot of people call it that, yeah.
That's weird.
I'm just saying, that's... What do you mean that's weird? Well, it's like Southern metal.
Yeah, it's like Southern metal.
He came from one of the biggest post-hardcore bands ever.
Yeah, he came from Under Oath.
Yeah, back when they were bad.
Yeah, like that was really bad.
It was a really rough time for Under Oath before...
But they're also from Florida. That's
Spencer
cool, right?
Joined the band. No, that's not why it's cool. They're all still from Florida. Either way, a lot of good bands have really branched out since the formation of those early metalcore bands. And I think that, I mean, that speaks a lot for the genre, that you can have like a couple of these people really like kill it with the genre, and then it hold on for what, fucking 10, 12 years? Like, that's impressive that it had been able to go on this long, that... You know, if Mice and Men formed in 09, they're now 10 years old. Like, that's impressive for a metal genre that kind of came out of nowhere from some teenagers. Like, that's one of the things that makes me love the music still.
I feel like it's also because that's when the big boom in, like, social media and everything has been. So
MySpace, yo.
I'm going to put that on MySpace.
That created a lot of bad music, but it created the biggest channel and getting your
YouTube,
music out there.
You know,
yeah,
with all these kids who are posting all their
really bad quality
metalcore, terrible vocal covers and
hell
stuff on there and Facebook and all that.
I mean, there's bands that have band members now just because of someone
like Northlane.
Yeah, Northlane is a huge example of that.
The lead singer left, and they literally did a
contest on YouTube.
Yeah, like virtual tryouts.
Yep.
And the guy who did it is fucking just
what's
dope.
His name? He's Australian. I can't remember.
They're all Australian.
But his cover, when you listen to his audition, you're like, yeah, that guy's the guy. Mm-hmm. That's the one. Like, it was insane. But, and I mean, again, that genre of music, who knows if that would have been created from metalcore.
Yeah, see, and they're a lot more
post hardcore.
They're very prog, yeah. But still with a lot of metalcore.
I would still say
almost like Northlane and Era and the bands like that are all like super instrument heavy,
yeah,
but still have like crazy vocals in them.
And someone who went oddly, like, very roller coaster in their career in the genre was also IC Stars. They're a perfect example of how a band uses electronic music with their metal.
Man, they had a lot of bad stuff in the beginning.
But it was like 10 years ago. Like, I didn't even know they were a band 10 years ago. I thought when they blew up on Warped Tour like 2 years ago, when they were like the headliner of Warped Tour, that was like their moment.
I didn't even know because the guy looks like he's like 15.
He looks like a different person. Like, he has long blonde hair now. And back in the day, he used to have he used to have like spiky black hair back when like spiky hair was a thing. He had short, spiky black hair. So it was like they rebranded and they actually did it really well. I mean, their later music that came out in the last couple of years is great. I mean, it's really good. I mean, way better than their older music for sure, you know? So I commend them. They did a great job of modernizing their sound without going too like weird. So
speaking of Amorosa's new album,
we did a review on the show of it like 2 weeks ago. Yeah, it was crazy different.
Well, now we'll talk about it, and then I'll see if the views are the same.
Yeah,
because I fucking love the new song.
I love that album.
I mean, I almost feel like they should have changed the name of their band.
I was actually thinking the same thing. Yeah,
it is 100% not at all the same. It basically is like, you know, with Tilly and Pearson, how he has Dancing Gavin Dance, and then he does his side project.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like
whoever in the band has a side idea of how to make music. That's what it sounded
like. It sounds like the lead singer of Amorosa.
Yeah, it's like, I want to make a pop project album.
Yeah, because it's
it sounded
weird.
Like almost like the 1975. Like,
I was
like
about to say, it's very like new wave style in a lot of it, which is, once again, it's awesome, but it doesn't sound like Amorosa at all. Like, no. It's going to be on a different shelf.
Well, the weird thing to me is I mentioned it when we did the review, is I gave it not the highest score because you could hear after about halfway through the album, there's like the last five tracks sound like they were supposed to be on a different album. And I just kind of got confused because like I was like upbeat and like fucking dancey and shit with the first half of that album because it was so good. And then like a couple tracks came on that sounded like old Amorosa.
It goes back to sad boy music.
Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck? That was such a left turn. I did not like that at all. So I understand that it sounded like what they used to sound like, but
they ran out of ideas.
Yeah, like 100% they should have made an EP with those awesome 80s songs, and instead they made a whole album and just threw in they peppered in some old Amorosa, and it confused the shit out of me. So I was like, this wasn't as good as the beginning of the album, but the beginning of the album was fucking great.
Yeah,
it was so good.
The awesome thing about it is that it almost seems like there's more bands from, you know, the metal scene and that whole kind of thing that are starting to incorporate different genres. Like, once again, Dance Gavin Dance, where they have a bunch of just almost like dance style breakdowns. Yeah. They have R&B, soulful kind of breakdowns and shit. And then, you know, Amorosa comes out with these new songs that are the same thing, where they have just these crazy contrasts in them.
You kind of have to, though.
Yeah, but it's awesome because, you know, it almost seems like this is yet another
iteration,
weird genre that's branching out from it, but it's not another one that's like, okay, well, this is metalcore but without dirty vocals.
Yeah,
like, okay, well, it's the same goddamn thing, it's just without dirty vocals. Like, this is a whole different thing. This is like when prog metal start getting big, where it's just like, you listen to it, and the first time you're like, well, First of all, I hate this.
Yeah.
And then you listen to it, and you're like, this is actually kind of awesome. Like with bands like, well, not Animals as Leaders, because there's no vocals.
No. But I do like their music.
Well, yeah. But the stuff that's, you know, like Era and Northlane and stuff, where it's
Periphery.
Periphery, where it's, you know, the clean vocals, dirty vocals, and all this stuff still, but it's so ridiculously instrument heavy.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you wouldn't be able to just pick someone up off the street and play it.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's not like pop punk music where, like, it's just a bunch of chord changes and then, you know, a breakdown and screaming, which I love. I mean, pop punk music is one of my favorites, but it's definitely on a different level. And I mean, the good thing is that there's so many different genres and sounds of metal music that, and just rock music in general, that, like, you don't have to just sit in one genre. Where back in the day, like, I know that in the 90s, if you were a kid that listened to, like pop punk, and then you were a kid that, like, listened to metal, you weren't friends. Like, you were in different, like, genres. You were in different cliques, you know? Yeah, because
one was wearing tight pants and one was wearing trip pants.
Yeah, like, you were completely opposite people and you wouldn't hang out with the same people. And nowadays, like, you can listen to prog metal, you can listen to metalcore, and you can listen to pop punk.
See, and now
everyone.
Yeah, everyone is welcome in Hot Topic. Before, it was just goths.
Yeah, but people still stare at you when you come in.
Well, I mean, yeah. I have a lot of tattoos, though. I feel like people stare at me anyways.
I guess
speaking of, I was talking about metalcore. I was trying to.
Yeah.
At work. And
I feel like most of the people at your work don't like metalcore.
Well, no, they don't. But it was a client. You know, it was like a youngish kid who was getting kind of trashy tattoos.
Maybe he's interested.
You know, yeah. So I was like, you have some trashy shit going on. You probably like metal. And so I was just, you know, kind of steer the conversation that way. I'm like, yeah, what kind of music do you listen to? He's like, oh, you know, like rock and whatever. I'm like, you listen to like metalcore, or, you know, kind of just feeling it out. And he's just like, you ever, is that like Skillet? You ever listen to Skillet? I'm just like,
what? Oh, yeah.
Oh, am I touching the cable?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I just
Christian
stopped.
Christian metal. You're like, all right, cool, we're done.
Yeah. I was just like, I know what you're doing after this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really know where I'm going with that, but he's going to church at some point.
No, it just sounded like a really negative experience is what that sounded like.
Yeah, it was
like.
Terrible. It didn't, you know, the tattoo didn't take long. I just kind of...
All right, cool. You're done, bud.
Yeah.
I'm going to put these headphones in.
I was just like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. So see you later.
Exactly. And again, not knocking the genre, because, I mean, some awesome bands have come from Christian metal, but...
Like Under Oath. They started out playing in a church.
I mean, even Of Mice and Men and Attack, they say that they're all
Jesus.
Christian lovers. Yeah, like, they're all religious people. They just, a lot of them didn't say that they're that type of person. Like, even, like, Paramore, who's not in the metalcore genre, but, like, people say that they were Christian rock band, and they're like, no, we're religious, but we're not that religious. Like, we're not saying we're a Christian rock band.
Devil Wears Prada, you know,
they're weird with their faith, though. I don't like when it's a little bit too much, and they're right on the verge for me of a little bit too much, so I'm glad that they don't tip the scale over that end.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're one of those bands that they've said in multiple interviews, like, yeah, you know, all the songwriting starts off with our faith and beliefs and blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't come through like that. It's not like you're sitting there and it's like a fucking gospel.
No.
You know?
I mean, mostly because, you know, you would have trouble understanding what the fuck he's even saying when he's screaming.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's insane.
I mean, they get about as religious as Under Oath does.
Yeah.
Where they have random breakdowns. They're just like, I love you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, well, I don't know about this part right now, but, you know, cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for all the people that were, you know, I think it's nice for the genre, because then it gives, like, all of the religious kids that wouldn't normally listen to that music a reason to listen to that music.
Yeah. They can come to Hot Topic, too.
Well, because we've all got friends that are religious and our friends that aren't religious, so it's like, it just all depends on who you are, but I'm glad that there's genres of music that I'm like, oh, yeah, totally, I like Under Oath, too. Not as much as the reason that you like them, but I like them, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Get away from me.
Yeah, like...
We just like the same music.
Yeah, exactly. But that's like, that's a good thing about going to a show, is that's as far as the extent has to go, because you're there for the show.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like you're going to fucking temple with them afterwards. Not the same, not temple. Same religion, but I'm just saying. For an example.
I don't think there's... I'm not even going to
go. Yeah, let's not go into that. Never mind. No, let's just skip that over. It's just going to make even less views for this show. But yeah, no, I mean, the biggest thing for me is the genres and the songs and the bands that came after the big bands that make the genres, like you just said before about like the Beatles may have been the first, but they weren't the best. I, you know, some people will definitely argue that. I actually agree with you most of the time with that, though.
I mean, the only difference is I don't really like them at all, which, I mean, I know I'm just discrediting most of the things I'm saying now.
Yeah, but you're not, because, I mean, there's a lot of people that... Fuck. Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't like the Beatles. I mean, they're not fans of that old genre of rock and roll, so they don't like the Beatles.
You know, some people like NSYNC, some people like Backstreet Boys.
That's not the same, because I like both, but, you know, still. It's just, it's whatever you like, and whatever's your, you know, your favorite, and the Beatles are definitely not my favorite, sadly. I mean, I respect a lot of their music, but it's definitely not my favorite. We'll say that.
What was the reason that we were talking about that? There was because some song, I was like, I like everyone else's version of it.
Oh,
the Stones. I don't remember what song I was singing.
The Stones. But the same thing, I mean, they came after the Beatles, and they were still doing rock and roll music. But yeah, your opinion's a similar way, where you're just not into them because it's just not your fucking cup. It's not your cup of tea, you know?
Which, I mean... Yeah, it's just like Attack, you know, I'm not crazy about them, but it's because...
But you like a lot of the other bands that came from them.
I don't care if they're the pioneers. I'm not saying I don't respect what they did. Yeah. I just don't like listening to most of it, you know?
Yeah, but
just
also...
Just because they're the pioneers doesn't mean that they were the best. It means that they were the people who started it.
Yeah, but also, I mean, you personally, even though you listen to a lot of metalcore, you actually don't listen to a lot of early, like Mall Kid... metalcore and scene music, and you don't listen to a lot of like easycore music either, so it makes sense that you're not the biggest fan of them, but you're a big fan of like the more mature music that came from them, which makes a lot more sense, especially like when you listen to Beartooth's music. It doesn't really sound anything like Attack. It sounds more like hardcore music than
I mean, Beartooth honestly is one of the more gimmicky sounding bands that I actually like. Because a lot of their stuff is...
He has pretty blatant, like, cheese lyrics. Yeah. But the music is always good, though.
As long as it doesn't sound like a fucking show tune, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Then you can make it... You can't really argue that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just... Oh, man. There's a lot of bands that, unfortunately, they all sound the same.
Yeah. There's a lot of turds out there, man. I mean... There's every genre is going to have like the bands that's the biggest thing that I noticed when like becoming friends with some kids in bands and stuff, is that you realize you're like, wow, out of like the five bands that are my favorite of this genre, there has to be like 5,000 that are no one knows who they are, like that they're just in their hometown and no one even discovered them, and their music might be good, but it might also be god awful.
Yeah. So you have to think that's the reason that every time you meet someone, you're like, oh, yeah, what do you think about this band? They're like, well, what do you think about these bands? And I'm like,
yeah.
They're fucking terrible. Like,
what do you mean?
I feel like you only like them because no one knows them.
Yeah, but then we get into that whole like hipster conversation that I'm like, get your hipster butthole ass out of here. Like, I don't deal with that kind of like idea about it, because I'm like, man, just tell me you like music or not. Like, that's all I care about. Don't tell me that like... this band is better because they did it before or did it and no one was looking or whatever the fuck your reasoning is. A lot of the times it's not good reasoning that someone's a hipster about certain genres of music. So I'm not cool.
I feel like the only reason to be hipster about genres is if it's, you know, new wave, because that's what the hipsters listen to.
True. I guess so. But I mean, a lot of them, like there's reemerging, like screamo music coming out like in recent months, and there's this one band called CU Space Cowboy that's like straight up like screamo music from like early 2000s screamo music, And they're like talking about this being possibly like a resurgence in screamo music, but not for like the mall kids and the like the younger teenagers that would listen to it. It's more for like the 30-year-old like D-bag guys who listened to screamo when they were teenagers, and now they're like, oh yes, it's back, and it's like it's better than all the other music out there. And I'm like, fuck that. I hope that doesn't happen because that sounds awful. Like, I hope there's no elitist about screamo music.
With the Mice and Men, the way that they've been going, it almost makes me think that they're trying to, like, get an older crowd. Because it's stuff that it's, like, it's toned down and just kind of gimmicky. And I'm like, I feel like you would love this if you love tribal tattoos.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the area they're going for, though. When you like, mature, like, a band like that, when you go mainstream, you're appealing to, like, the middle class and the middle age group of people. Like, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not embarrassed to say that I've gone to a Nickelback concert before. And at that Nickelback concert, it was a lot of tribal tattoos, like you just said. And it was a lot of those shirts that have like those really crazy looking like stone crosses on them.
Oh, like tap out shirts.
Yeah, like tap out shirts and shit.
They have like glitter and metallic shit on them.
Yeah, and like that's kind of the people that they're going for. And guess what? That fucking place, that show was in a stadium. So I mean, yeah, you can laugh all you want about those shitty bands. Yeah, I didn't go to, but
that thing had the stage rotated.
It was insane.
The stage spun.
And the craziest thing
Gavin DeGraw fucked his guitar on the stage.
Yeah. It was not Gavin DeGraw. Yeah, Gavin DeGraw.
Gavin Rossdale.
Yeah. Gavin DeGraw, the singer-songwriter, ground his acoustic guitar into the ground that night. Yeah, he fucking fucked his guitar to death. No, it was Gavin Rossdale from Bush, which actually was my highlight of the night, because Bush actually is an amazing 90s band. But
was that the same one that
Seether
was? Yeah. Yeah,
their set was cool too. But again, they're
that dude's just so stoic and
that yeah,
just not it fun was, it at
was
all. Not,
their stage presence was terrible, but their set was good. They did a good job. But the thing is like that's what everyone always makes fun of, you know, Nickelback and
Gavin
makes fun
DeGraw's
of
the one with the fedora.
Yeah, that's why it was so much funnier. But the crazy thing is like everyone makes fun of these big mainstream bands and stuff. And I was like, yeah, but have you ever looked up what the net worth of Nickelback is? They never have to work for the rest of their lives. I'm not saying
almost as much as, you know, a nickel's front.
Terrible. And I'm probably going to cut that from the episode. That was embarrassingly bad. But
5 cents.
The bad thing is like, you know, I wouldn't want to make that music because it sounds like it's just for the purpose of making mainstream music. But also, they're tens of millionaires
playing a fucking bar that no one wants to listen to.
Well, that's
but
what
it
I'm saying.
Up,
you know,
takes up airspace.
Yeah, you could take free. You can make screamo music to four kids that are moshing in a small bar and make fucking $30 a piece. Or, you know, you say, hey, we're already big, let's go bigger. I mean, Bring Me the Horizon is doing it now. Their album is completely electronic and rock.
I've been scared to listen to it.
It's not bad. It's really good, but it's definitely don't expect there to be like huge breakdowns and
everyone
shit.
Said
There's
it was
a couple,
very different.
It was good, though.
Mantra pissed me off, so.
Yeah, but that was like
how are you
my
gonna
least
ruin
favorite
the whole,
song.
What?
That was my least favorite song on the album.
How are you going to ruin the hook of the song? Like the pivotal point where there's this whole build up and then it's an electrical voice saying mantra and it's supposed to be cool.
I don't really care about that because if he said the word mantra, I don't think it would have had any effect anyways. But my point is that was my least favorite song. The rest of the album's pretty good. And you like, you know, some pop music and electronic shit anyways. So you'll probably like it, just not in a metalcore way because it's definitely not metalcore. Definitely not metalcore. So I would listen to it though. It's worth a listen. But yeah, I think that's a pretty good way to a pretty good place to stop it. This was a bonus episode anyway, so really
Miley Sykes hair.
Yeah. I mean, he's had a lot of hairstyles over the years.
I see it now.
But mostly I think these bonus episodes is really just to kind of go through a brief history of certain bands and then kind of vent on what is going on. Which is probably what's going to happen with our next bonus episode.
Like Ali Sykes' hair. He looks like Eve.
I don't care about that as much. But I definitely want to make an episode about not necessarily Dance Gavin Dance, but Johnny Craig in general. Because the guy, I said this in the other day when we said the news about him getting kicked out of the band, that I was like,
did he go into detail so on many, why?
Yeah. And I was like, this guy has had so many shots at very good music and very good like opportunity, and he's like squandered each fucking one. And I'm like, I know that good things have come out of you getting fired from bands, but like, fucking change your life. Like, please, man, because you're not doing anything for yourself and definitely not for the music. Like, quit being a fucking idiot. I don't get it.
He also has a bunch of red face tattoos that I kind of thought also were bad. Just freckles.
Yeah, because he's a ginger,
but they're very prominent freckles.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But it says like
Fearless or something down his jaw.
I definitely want to make another thing about that, because there's a whole this entire conversation about metalcore can easily be said about swancore as well, with all of the bands that have come out of the genre.
I'm never gonna remember that. Someone's gonna say swancore, and I'm just gonna. Who cares? What the fuck is that?
Either way, that genre of, you know, all the bands now that have come out, like CNVAR and Hail the Sun and all of those extra bands that have come because of the bands that have created their genre. Swancore. That's all the genre.
See, but I mean, CNVAR is still, they have a lot of heavy vocals. And
that's not really the point of swancore. It's really more of a made up word for metalcore that has pretty stuff in it, or post hardcore that has.
I mean, that's breakdowns and pretty stuff. Dance in general, though.
Yeah, that's why they created the name of swancore.
Oh, really?
That's my point.
I'm just discrediting myself.
Yeah, that's why they created the genre. But either way, we'll make another episode all about them.
Easy core just sounds like it's playing a strip club. Bunch of hoes.
Anything core sounds gross either way. So I think it just doesn't make a difference. Like, hardcore used to mean something very different before music took that phrase, you know? So it just doesn't make a difference. But either way, you know, follow us on all the normal stuff, Instagram, Twitter. I don't think we have Facebook because, once again, I say it every time.
Was this actually...
No one fucking posts on Facebook about this kind of stuff, so... What?
She posts on Facebook. She's on Facebook all day.
Yeah, people are on Facebook, but no one like this... Like, people don't podcast on Facebook. Like, no one releases
podcasts. What do you even podcast on?
We podcast everywhere. Apple, Spotify... there's like a couple of other hosting networks.
Sirius XM Radio.
No, why would I do that? Who fucking has that other than like old men in their cars?
Yeah, I got it for free when I got my car. I used it for a split.
Yeah, you don't anymore though. That's the point.
No, I had to pay for it.
Yeah. So yeah, all of that, all of the
She's
regular
on Facebook all the time though. She shows me stuff like, oh, just see this concert.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. But like, people that have media like this don't really post on Facebook. It's not really worth it. Either way, We're on Instagram, definitely on Instagram almost daily. We're on Twitter, all that fun stuff. So definitely share, subscribe, you know, keep it tight. And we'll return some other time. I'm not going to give this one a date when we'll come back and record another like ranty episode, because this one took too long to make. So
about Johnny Tracks.
Yeah, we'll just play it by ear and just see when we can actually pop up with a new podcast. But until then, you know, fuck off.
One love.
That's my catchphrase.
One love.
You can't take my Two catchphrase. Loves. Who started saying that?
What?
Was it Gary?
Two loves? Of
I
love?
Can't remember who. No, the two loves thing. I can't remember who started saying that.
I've it never heard someone. That in my life. I'm still not sure where the one love started.
Okay. Well, someone.
Is that Bob
said,
Marley?
Someone you. I mean, yeah, it started with Bob Marley, but I'm saying when we started saying it as like an inside joke.
I didn't know it was a joke. I thought it was like, hey, take care. See you later.
It is one that love. Way. But we started it saying it for no Questlove, reason. Though. That doesn't make sense. All right, cool. Bye, guys.
One love.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.